It's good to be here. Appreciate everybody. I thought I'd Sunday school bring a little bit of a doctrinal type lesson on a subject that all of us are familiar with. Most of you, if not all of you, look like anyhow. You've been in church a long time. Talking about eternal security. To me, one of the most exciting doctrines in the Bible. Of course, they're all exciting, but one of the most exciting doctrines in the Bible is the doctrine of eternal security. The idea that somebody says, well, do you believe in that once saved, always saved thing? Right. Absolutely. That's another way of saying I believe in eternal security. I think once you get saved, you're saved forever. And that excites me, that motivates me. The whole idea that, for myself, I've got assurance. I got saved over 50 years ago, prayed, called on Jesus, forgive my sins and save me, trusted in his death, blood, resurrection. When I die, when I get to heaven, if God were to ask, and I think he already knows, but if he were to say, Jim, why should I let you in? I'd say, well, I know I don't deserve it because I'm a sinner and I've messed up. And, I try to live right, but I don't all the time. I'm a sinner and I messed up, but I know Christ died for my sins. He paid the price. I called on him to forgive me and save me, and that settles it. And so I've known now over 50 years, I know when I die, I'm going to heaven. That's a great peace. All the mess going on in this world and uncertainty. All the way around, everything happening and illnesses. We had the COVID thing and all that, and nobody knows. Pastor Ross here. Nobody knows how long we have here on this earth.
That's right.
Driving down the highway, some guy slips and messes up, comes into your lane, and you'd be in heaven. You never know. And but I know, since I got saved, settled it, got assurance October 7th, 1969, on my 22nd birthday, I know I'm going to heaven whenever that happens. And I know most of my loved ones are going to heaven. I have assurance I'm going to see my parents again. Eternal security to me, it brings peace. It brings the idea that, the good you do for God, one of the most motivating ideas in soul winning is that when somebody gets saved, they're saved forever. And you go out and you talk to somebody, whether it's a bus kid that rides in on a bus and he's 7, 8, 9 years old, and you go through the gospel with him and you ask him questions, you be sure he understands, and he prays and calls on Jesus to forgive him and save him, that kid is saved forever. And, they may quit coming in a year or two. They may move away in a year or two. They may stay in church all their life. They may never go to church again. And a lot of that, you never know. But if they got saved, they're saved forever. Good friend of mine, Pastor Mike Allison, down in Alabama, heard him preaching one day. He was talking about the Vacation Bible School they run, and they had 18 kids, or I don't remember the number, that got saved through their Vacation Bible School. And he said, I know what some of you folks out there are saying. How many of them really got saved? Everyone that believed. Everyone that believed. And you know what? Everyone that believed is saved forever. And somebody said, well, they don't all come to church. Had a pastor friend of mine say, well, I'm not trying to populate a church, trying to populate heaven when I go soul winning. Want to get people saved and on their way to heaven. To me, one of the most inspiring doctrines in terms of making me want to continue work on bus routes, make me want to continue to be a personal soul winner, talk to somebody on a street corner, waiting in a line, whatever. They're saved forever if they get saved. And again, a lot of them wind up going to church, staying in church. You never know it. But somebody gets saved. You know, people that backslide. Eternal security. Where does the Bible say all that and teach it? Why don't you turn your Bible to John 3:16? Probably everybody, or most of us in here, can quote it or get close to it anyhow. But John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world." It was already condemned. "But that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Back in John 3:16, "that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We have everlasting life. We get saved. If I have everlasting life, it's got to last forever. Amen. If it doesn't last forever, it wasn't everlasting life. Are you trying to record this? Yeah. Or do you want me to stay on mic then? Okay. So if we have everlasting life, it's going to last forever. Amen. Again, otherwise it wasn't everlasting life. Somebody says, well, he got saved, but then he got unsaved. And they never had everlasting life. It only lasted 3 weeks or 3 years or 30 years or whatever. But it wasn't everlasting life. You look down at John 3:36. This is John the Baptist talking. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So if I believe on the Son, I have everlasting life." Turn over a page, John chapter 5, verse 24. It says, "There, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Right there, you're passed from death to life. John 6:47 says here, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." So Jesus says the moment we believe, we get everlasting life. So, the children that got saved in Bible school last summer, they got everlasting life. That's going to last forever. Again, if it doesn't last forever, then it is an everlasting life. I mean, that you get it right away. I know that once somebody gets saved, they're saved forever, because when you get saved, you have everlasting life. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Secondly, I know that once somebody gets saved, they're saved forever, because we're saved by grace through faith without works. I got saved by grace through faith without works. Amen. You know, if I didn't get saved by doing good works, I can't lose it by doing bad works.
Amen. It's good.
I mean, do you think somebody that does that could be saved? I mean, people do a lot of things that are saved. Yep. People do a lot of bad things. Doesn't make them unsaved. You know, far as that goes, you know, Peter cursed and swore and said, "I never knew Christ," when he was being crucified, but he was still saved, I think. Don't have any, I mean, Peter was already saved prior to that. He didn't lose it. How could you curse and swear and say, "No, I don't know, I don't even know the man," and still be, I don't know, but Peter did it. Peer pressure, ashamed, afraid of being killed, I don't know. King David, adultery and murder, and on and on you go in the Bible. But hey, I didn't get saved by being good. I got saved by trusting Christ.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Somebody says, "Well, Brother Jorgensen, don't you think if you're going to be saved, you have to live right?" I think you ought to live right. But good works are not the cause or a condition of salvation. Good works are the result of salvation, according to the Bible. You know, as I read my Bible, when I got saved, I got a new nature. That new nature wants to do right. But I've still got my old nature that wants to do wrong.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And they fight in each other.
Yes,
somebody says, which one wins? The one I feed the most.
Right.
You spend your time in the Word of God feeding the new nature, it's going to win more often than not.
Right.
You spend your time on social media and crazy websites or whatever, feeding the old nature, it's going to win most of the time. But all of us have the good and bad, and we all sin one way or the other. And somebody said, "Well, I just don't think you could be saved and do that sin." And as Christians, we kind of categorize sins as okay sins and bad sins. You know, the bad sins are the ones I don't commit.
Come on.
I mean, that's how all of us say, "Well, you couldn't be saved and get drunk." Well, you know, I've never been drunk in my life. Never drank alcohols, you know, I mean, I never drank. So it's easy to say, it'd be easy for me to say, "Well, I just don't think you could be saved and do that." But you look at the Bible condemns pride about as much as anything.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, I mean, you may say, "Brother Jorgensen, what have you got to be proud of? How could you be proud?" I understand that, but sometimes it creeps in. And, I mean, so many things. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. I mean, I work on that, but I don't really come close often. But we, you know, it's easy to say, "Well, look, I didn't get saved by being good. If I didn't get saved by being good, I'm not going to lose it by being bad."
Amen.
Bible says we're saved by grace through faith, without works. Turn your Bible over into the book of Romans. Chapter 5. Now, I don't know. Start. Let's. There's so many things here in Romans. Okay, we'll start with what I listed first. Romans 5:8, we read. A lot of times we read that and we go soul winning. God commendeth or showed his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For if when we were enemies, verse 10, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And God sent his Son. Jesus died for me when I was a sinner. He didn't wait till I was righteous. You're not a lot of people I'd die for. God loved me, so, you know, it'd have to be a close friend or a relative, somebody I love. I mean, there are people I'd die for my wife, my kids, some, you know, but it wouldn't be a long list. Maybe people I was close to and felt friendship with. Christ died for me when I was a sinner and an enemy of God. Turn back or look back across the page if you have a Bible like I do. Romans chapter 4, verse 4. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace but of debt. But unto him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness, or God puts righteousness on his account without works. Hey, I got saved by grace through faith alone. Well, don't you have to do some good works? Not according to the book of Romans, without works. Look, you go back in verse 5. It's either by works or by grace. If you want to look over into Romans 11:6, here, same kind of thing, idea. talking about grace and works fitting together here relating to the nation of Israel, but the same principle, Romans 11:6. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, it is no more of grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Look, it's either by grace or by works. If I teach this at the college or something, I say, now look, if I tell you that I'll give you $10 to mow my, or $20 to mow my yard, is that a gift?
Nope.
It's of works.
Right.
I mean, it can't be both. It's either got to be you earned it, or it's got to be a gift. With no, I mean, if it's a gift, if I say I'm going to give you $10 and add a requirement of something you must do to get the quote-unquote gift, it's not a gift.
Right.
It's wages.
Yeah, that's right.
Otherwise, grace is no more grace, or work is no more work. It's got to be one or the other. It can't be both. If I say, if you cut my grass, I'll give you $500. Now, that's still wages. It's very good wages, because I don't have a very big yard. But it's still wages. I mean, it's got to be one or the other. You look back again in Romans chapter 4 there, verse 5, to him that worketh not, but believe on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. And how do I get righteousness? By my faith. And it's not he that believe that justifieth the pretty good guy, the ungodly.
Right.
And verse 4, to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. You know, if you've got to mow my yard to get the money, it's not a gift. It's a debt. I owe you. It's we're either saved by grace through faith or by works. It can't be a combination because the two just do not go together. I like Romans 4:16. Therefore, it, talking about salvation, is of faith. I got saved by faith that it might be by grace to the end that the promise might be sure. The only way you can know for sure you're saved is if it's by grace through faith.
Amen.
If it's by works, you'd never know if you'd done enough.
Amen.
But since I got saved by grace through faith when I called on Jesus to save me, that settles it. Say, well, but what if you backslide later on? Then I'll be a backslidden man. And the Bible talks about Corinthians messing up and abusing the Lord's Supper really badly, turning it into a big, feast, potluck, kind of thing, and everybody's gorging themselves, and it's all about the food instead of the Lord, and messing up there. And Paul says, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. You know, some people dead because they're messing up. That wouldn't be a sin that we would have said, oh, yeah, God will kill you if you do that. But, I mean, God judges sin.
Right.
Now, say, you mean every time somebody dies, it's because they're a sinner? Well, in the sense that we're all sinners, yes.
Right.
But every one of us is going to die. I mean, you don't look at people and say, oh, well, if he were. But anyhow, good works are a result of salvation, not a condition of it or a cause of it. I got saved by grace through faith. And again, since I'm saved by grace, didn't get saved by doing good, I'm not going to lose it if I do wrong. And that encourages me even looking at people I won to Christ, people that I love or family or distant family or whatever, say, well, they made a clear profession of faith. I feel confident they understood. They trusted Christ as their Savior. They're not living right today. You know what? They're still saved. They're still going to heaven. So what do you think they really got saved? I guess nobody knows but them and God. But in some cases, I feel like, yeah, they did. It was clear. Now, they've gotten way away from God. And they say, well, but they say now sometimes, well, I don't believe that. Isn't that what Peter said? You know, I don't even know him. But he's still saved. You know, to me, eternal security is one of the most encouraging doctrines in the entire Bible. And look back, Romans chapter 3. We're moving here. I like some of this. Read a little bit longer passage. How do I get? I need the righteousness of God to get to heaven. I certainly don't have any righteousness of my own. But now the righteousness of God without the... How do I get the righteousness of God? Without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all. In other words, God offers his righteousness to everybody, not just the elect or anybody. God offers it to everybody. It's unto all, but it's upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. We use Romans 3:23 a lot in soul winning. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. Word propitiation basically means satisfaction. A satisfaction through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Hey, you know, I get Christ's righteousness by faith. How do I get Christ's righteousness? By believing in Jesus. He is the justifier. Justifier, he declares righteous those that believe in Jesus. And there's no difference back in verse 23, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Nobody's getting to heaven by being good. Right. Not the Jews, not the Gentiles. Nobody's getting there that way. And again, I quote Romans 3:23 and so on. When I go soul winning, there is all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And a lot of times, especially more recently, I may say, you know, I don't know about you, but I knew I was a sinner even before I read the Bible. And everybody I'm talking to said, because the Holy Spirit convicts. But there isn't any difference. Nobody's getting to heaven by being good. But we do get Christ's righteousness by believing in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Verse 27. By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Hey, if I got to heaven by being good, I could boast. I could, when I got to heaven, I could say, I made it. Those folks didn't. I'm better than them. But boasting's excluded. Because when we get to heaven, nobody's going to be able to say, I'm better than them. I made it. They didn't. We're all going to say, I don't deserve to be here. I'm a rotten sinner. But Jesus died to pay for my sin, and I called on him to save me. Praise God. Give glory to Jesus. Boasting is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. I think I quoted that close to right anyhow. Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude, verse 28, that a man is justified, declared righteous, seen as righteous, that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Talking about the Jew and the Gentile and how each one get to heaven here in Romans 1, 2, and 3. Of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God, which shall justify the circumcision, the Jews by faith, and the uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. The law declares that we're all sinners. Grace and works don't mix. I'm either saved by grace through faith or I'm not saved at all. I'm not saved by... Somebody says, well, Brother Jorgensen, don't you have to stop sinning when you get saved? Well, you should stop sinning, but you're not going to stop it totally. 1 John says, you know, these things I write unto you that you sin not. And our goal ought to be not to sin. No point in saying, you know, you don't want to go through life saying, well, everybody sins, I'm just going to go ahead and do it and enjoy it.
Right.
You know, Paul said, or John writes, these things write I unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate, because we all will.
Right.
We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And, you know, I'm saved by grace through faith without works. You can't put the two together. Since I didn't get saved by being good, I can't lose it by being bad. And somebody said, well, how... different people sin different ways. Number three, I've got point one, I have eternal life. Number two, I'm saved by grace through faith without works. Number three, you're born again the moment you believe.
Amen.
Being saved is not a process. I think all of us believe that, but somehow we don't think that way sometimes. But you're born again the moment you believe. Being saved is not a process. It doesn't take long. The moment I get saved, the moment I got saved, I got eternal life.
Amen.
Sometimes, exactly. Was that when I prayed? Was that before I prayed when I realized all this was true and decided? You know, maybe in some cases it's before the person walks down the aisle, they understand it back in the pew, and that faith there. It's not about what words you say. It's about trusting Christ as your Savior. And it's good to pray and so on, but it's a good way to express your faith is to call on the name of the Lord, pray. But it's the faith that saves. Sometimes we wonder, did I say the right words? Repeating words isn't going to get you to heaven. Faith in Christ is what gets you to heaven. Well, did I have enough faith? I mean, faith. I mean, you believe it or you don't. You trust him or you don't. But anyhow, the moment you're born again, the moment you believe. John... 1 John 5:12. Let me go over there, back in the back here. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. The moment you trust Christ as Savior and you get the Son, you have eternal life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. John 5:24, we were back in John a little bit earlier. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. The moment you hear his word and believe on him that sent me, you have everlasting life. You don't have, I mean, before you could say, well, don't you have to get baptized too? No, you get the eternal life before you'd have time to be baptized.
Amen.
Right? He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life. So I get the everlasting life the moment I believe in Christ. Don't you have to be baptized too? Well, you don't have time to get baptized. You already have the everlasting life. Why aren't you supposed to get baptized? Absolutely. You should.
Amen.
But it ain't going to get you to heaven.
Amen.
So what if you die after you trust Christ and before you get baptized? You're going to heaven as an unbaptized believer. You know, some Catholic Church and others started messing up baptism, went to, you know, well, you got to get saved. You got to, in order to go to heaven, you have to be baptized, become a member of the church. None of that's in the Bible. There's nothing in the Bible about getting baptized to go to heaven.
Right.
You know, and so then they started saying, well, you got to do that. And then they started saying, well, we better baptize them as a baby so that if they die young, they'll...
Right.
Yeah. What if a baby dies and hasn't been baptized? If a baby dies, a baby goes to heaven.
Right.
Whether he's been baptized or not. David's baby was never baptized, but when David's baby died in the Old Testament, David said, he won't come back to me, but I'll go to him.
Amen.
That's a paraphrase, not an exact quote. I don't have the reference there, but that's, he shall not return to me, but I shall go to him, something just about like that. When I got saved, John 5:24 and many other passages in the Bible, it's an instantaneous thing the moment I trust Christ. Before I'd have time to get baptized. Well, don't you have to quit your sin? Before I'd have time to quit my sin. Before I'd have time to turn over a new leaf. You know, that's, you know, the way you repent when you get saved is you stop trusting in your righteousness and what you've done and say, I'm going to trust Christ. I turn from trusting my righteousness to trusting Christ's righteousness. That's how I get saved. Aren't you supposed to live right? Absolutely, you're supposed to live right. I mean, I wrote a book on separation.
Right.
I'm in favor of living right.
Right.
Just told you I'd sell you the book for $5. That'll tell you don't drink alcohol and dress right and don't go to movies and don't, I mean, tell you a bunch. I mean, I believe in living right. You know, I literally wrote the book on separation. I believe in living right. But that's not how I'm getting to heaven.
Amen.
And far as that goes, people I love that don't go by Bible standards that have trusted Christ as Savior, they're going to heaven. Does it mean that it doesn't matter how you live? No, you want to live right. Or yes, you, I mean, you know what I mean. Sure, it matters. But it doesn't affect whether or not somebody says, well, what about, and I'll finish up here. Pastor said if I finish it, he said if I finish at 25 after, it'd be good. But I'll be done no later than 20 after. Let me just toss in. What if you have doubts? Somebody says, you know, I mean, I don't know. Sometimes I wonder about it. Had Mrs. John R. Rice tell me one day, she said, well, Jim, I like check up on my salvation every once in a while. You know, you hear a message about somebody, you know, I was in church for 20 years and I was a Sunday school teacher, but I never had been, you know, and you hear something like that and you think, have I been saved? Anyhow, she said, I like check up on my salvation every once in a while. And when I hear a message like that, she would be a horrible thing to die and wake up and find I was lost. But when I check up on it, I go back to the day and I don't, you know, when it's a 12-year-old or whatever girl, I pray, trusted Christ as my Savior. That's all I can do. When I hear a message like that, sometimes I'll say, I remember October 7th, 1969. I was sitting in a little snack shop on the campus of Tennessee Temple University and talking with M.A. Butler, and I prayed and I called on Jesus, forgive me and save me. And I understood it, trusted him, I'm saved.
Amen.
It's all you can do. 1 Timothy 2:3 says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful.
Amen.
2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 10, and Peter writes there, and under inspiration, God told him what to write, gave him the words to write. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, Peter says, beside all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, all these things you should be adding to your faith to grow in Christ and become a better Christian. For if these things be in you and abound, verse 8, they make you that ye shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things, what things? virtue, knowledge, brotherly kindness. You know, the guy that hasn't grown in his faith at all. He that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Now, was he purged from his old sins? According to verse 9, he was. Does he remember it? Does he have assurance that he was purged from his old sins? Nope. He's forgotten it. You know, the Bible teaches if you don't grow in Christ and start living right, you're going to have doubts. And you go out and talk to people, well, I made a profession, but now I'm not sure. Well, you know, if you're not growing in Christ, you're going to have doubts, according to the Bible. He cannot see it far off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Bible says that he was purged. They were taken away, but he can't remember it. He's not clear about it because he hasn't been living right, hasn't been growing in Christ. Wherefore, verse 10, the rather, brethren, give a diligence to make your calling and election sure. Sure to who? Not God. God knows. Sure to you. Give diligence, make your calling, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. You know, the Bible teaches there, I think in 2 Peter, that if you're not growing in Christ, you're going to have doubts. But the fact that you wonder about it, or even, you know, all of us, I think at times, you know, we've heard messages like that. Somebody talks and preaches, and you want to be sure. As far as that goes, if you're sitting here this morning, you say, man, thinking back, I can't remember a time I called. I just always thought I always was. Then settle it and make sure. But most of us go back and say, yeah, I remember. I may not remember the day or I may not remember time, but I remember I was, you know, I remember I called on Jesus, save me. I don't remember if I was 6 or 8 or, you know, but I know I did. And didn't think to write the date down. Well, a lot of things I remember happened, but I didn't think to write the date down. And, but anyhow, I'm glad once we're saved forever.
Amen.
And when somebody that to whom I give the gospel trusts Christ, they're saved forever. And that's, you know, somebody goes, you know, the good you do for God, you do is done forever. And that's an exciting thing to me. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you that once we're saved forever. Doesn't have anything to do with my good works or anything else. It's all because of your blood and faith in Christ. Help me to love you, to live for you, to serve you, be a productive Christian, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.